Good evening, everyone. Thank you for calling in. I know that people are busy and people are probably have various social engagements, so we do appreciate people taking the time to call in. Again, as we normally have with these recordings, as far as the Shiur learning, we do record them, so we ask that anybody or everyone can please take a second now to mute your phone so that we can proceed undisturbed. The Super Bowl is just a few minutes away, beginning in about 20 minutes, and I know that in the Blast home, I'm not home right now. Normally, if the Giants are in the Super Bowl, so our family are a New York sports fans, so we root for the Giants. And the Giants are not in the Super Bowl, you know, we normally don't care so much who wins, who loses. But on this evening, that clearly is not the case. And while I personally don't have a strong emotional attachment, some of the people in our family are heavily rooting for the Broncos this year. And the reason is very simple, that the people in our home, and I think if you take a poll around the country of the 130 million people that are watching the game, most of them, if they're not in the state of North Carolina, are rooting for the Broncos. And that's because there's a very strong attachment to Peyton Manning. And really probably for one of two reasons, and the two reasons are connected to each other. The first is that he seems to be, as all of the Mannings are, a very, very decent person, a good person, a family man, a community man, a religious person. And it is worth noting that both him and his brothers are very much similar. And it's no wonder, coming from a family of great parents, a great family, a stable family, a community-oriented family, that the children turned out that way. And while I always find, I'm sure many of you do as well, that you root for the good guy, a person who seems like a decent person, I think this year is even more so with the potential retirement of this being his last game and the feeling of wanting a send-off for somebody who's been such a decent person. And throughout the course of this week, I've only caught a small glimpse of it. If a person wanted to, they could retire from their jobs and spend an entire week before the Super Bowl listening to these absolutely inane interviews over and over and over again. But most of the interviews and most of the discussions revolved around the question of, are you retiring? How are you going to make that decision? Why do you want to retire? What are some of the thoughts and feelings about the idea of retirement from the shop? And he tries to deal with it, his family tries to deal with it in its own type of way. And it made me start to think about this question of retirement. Now, obviously, in my stage of life and listening to the people calling into this to this talk, so to speak, you know, people mostly not really of a retirement age, but it started making me ask the question of how does a person think about the idea of retirement, of when they should retire? What goes into that question? What goes into that decision? What goes into the cheshbon about some of the issues of retirement? But I wanted to share just a few different reflections about this issue because I think in many ways the questions that will revolve around our retirement, whenever that is, 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, often very much goes to how we're living now and what type of lives we have now. I wanted to share briefly four different thoughts in regards to retirement. The first is, and I think this goes without saying, and before I even share those four things, clearly the issue of retirement also is complicated. Someone like Peyton Manning, you know, who's 39, 40 years old, so often retirement is dictated by physically I can't do it, or a person needs to work more because of money or because of other considerations. You know, sometimes the whole question of retirement is not a philosophical issue or one we really have a choice over, but it's dictated either to continue to work or not to work by other circumstances. But just sort of in a theoretical way, some of the issues that revolve around retirement. Now, just four different thoughts. The first is thinking about the real value of work. We know the pasuk tells us, Adam li amal yula, the person was born to work, he was born to toil. The psukim tell us that anything that comes easy to a person, a nachalah that was given to a person without his real amelos, without his real efforts, are quickly going to be lost because he has nothing at stake. But even more than that, the value of discipline, of structure, of waking up early in the morning, of making one's bed, of shaving, of putting on a suit, of having a schedule, of having that surah, is something very much that especially we as Jews very, very much believe in. They always tell stories about the Rosh Yeshiva or various rebbeim. They would come to their children to visit them in yeshiva. And we would think, what's the first thing that you do when a parent goes to yeshiva to visit their son in Keren B'Yavne or Reshit or in MMY, wherever their child might be? You go to the Beis Medrash, you go to the classrooms, and you speak to the rebbeim, and you ask them, how is Moshe doing? How is this person doing? Because you want to find out how they're doing academically. But in the Sifrei Musar, they say that the great giants, when they would visit their children in yeshiva, the first thing they would do is that they would go to their rooms, and they would see, how do their cubbies look, and how do their beds look, and how is their personal space, and how is their personal hygiene, and are they waking up for the same, you know, minyan day in and day out? Does their life have a tzura? Does their life have discipline? And what we realize for ourselves is that even the greatest intentions of what we want to accomplish in this world, none of that means anything unless we have a basic discipline, tzura, schedule, stay there, all those things in our life. And many people, when they stop having that, they stop having a job, or they retire, or they're not employed, or they're, right, like their life to some degree, you know, falls apart a little bit. You know, they put on weight. They're not as happy, they're not as vibrant, they're not taking as good use of their time. And to some degree, that the issue of retirement should also, in our own mind, make us realize the value of work and the value of seder. That's one thought. There's another thought, that sometimes you speak to people who made it in a profession. They made it in a business, they made it in sports, and you ask them when they walk away, how was it? And for them, it was very, very difficult. It was difficult because they left something they loved. It was difficult because they left the camaraderie, perhaps, of the office or of a sports team or whatever the case might have been. But it's also difficult because so often a person defines themselves sometimes in this very public type of role. Sometimes the person defines themselves because of with a certain neediness. I needed to be the man. I needed the accolades. I needed to be in a position where I felt I was getting respect. It was hard for me just to be a simple person in my own house, in my own life, just with my wife and my children, or my husband and my children. It was hard for me to live a simple life after I was living a greater life and a life of whatever that accomplishment or whatever that public acceptance might have been. And what I'm always amazed about is the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was so accomplished and did so much, yet he was so modest. And he built the Mishkan, and it would have been very easy for Moshe, as the Shekhinah came down to the Mishkan, for Moshe to be there in the Mishkan, for Moshe to stand there in the tabernacle when the Shekhinah came down. But we know the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Pekudei that Moshe, as the Shekhinah descended onto the Mishkan, Moshe stayed outside. Moshe didn't want to be there at that time. I always thought that image was of a great person seeking to himself, it doesn't have to be about me. It doesn't have to be about my narrative and about people seeing me associated with the Mishkan, that it's Moshe's Mishkan in some way, my ego, my needs. But I can just sort of stay in the background. And I think that a lot of people have an easier time retiring when they build their lives with as little ego, as little neediness as possible. I'm in a public position, great. But if I'm not in a public position, I just live a simple, quiet life. I have my books or my star and or my hobbies and my family. That's also fine. I'm happy living in the shadows. I'm happy living a life of simplicity. And the more we're able to, at this stage of life, just live very simply within ourselves without constant ego needs, that's only allows the next steps of our life, those transitions away from work and away from public success, that allows those transitions to be much easier. That's thought number two. Thought number three, I always look, and quite honestly, I know I'm speaking to a lot of people, I know this being recorded. But I always look with amazing respect to my father. All of you who know me know the tremendous relationship my father and I have. But I see my father now, who's been retired, and his life is so rich and his life is so full. He's constantly reading and he's constantly learning, and he took upon himself to study yoga, and he taught himself how to be a photographer, and now he has photography shows, and he taught himself this. And at the age of 75, his life is so full because his life was never only about work. He was a psychologist, and he really enjoyed it, but he was so active, and he was so interested in learning and traveling and growing and meeting people and seeing new things and experiencing new things. This was throughout his entire life, and everything that he met, he was interested in, and he wanted to learn about, and he wanted to speak to people. And when he stepped away from his job, you know, he didn't define himself as only a psychologist, much as he enjoyed that, but he saw himself as a person with immense interest and an immense aliveness of spirit and an immense desire for learning and for growth. And if we were people now, at whatever age we are, 40, 45, 50, 55, the people that really just have expansive dreams. You know, you can have a person, I'm not saying everyone, it's for everybody, but a person who says, you know what, I really want to finish Shas, or I really want to do this. I feel I have a contribution to make in that. I want to learn how to fish. I want to read more. A person has a whole life outside of what they do, you know, 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., or whatever the hours a person works. A person is just someone who's embracing the world and embracing knowledge. Now, that's the way we're living now. So when we retire, our life has sort of a healthiness because we're moving on to something really meaningful. We're not just sort of sitting around, you know, waiting for like the lunch specials to open up in the local place, just sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting. But the next step of our life gives us more time to explore and to expand ourselves. And lastly, just a last thought. I first mentioned the value of work and the value of discipline. Secondly, the paradigm of Moshe Rabbeinu of being a person that it wasn't about him, it wasn't his ego, it wasn't him needing front and center, but he was more than happy to step back from that. The third point about it, the more interest we have now at this stage of life, so the retirement itself doesn't feel scary, but it feels like an opportunity to just continue to expand that. And lastly, the question that I think all of us should be asking ourselves, not on a daily basis, and on a weekly basis, and certainly a monthly basis, of who exactly am I, and why was I placed in this world? You know, we know the Sifrei Mussar, the Sifrei Machshava, they always speak about man's role in the world, and that's true by man in a general sense. Why did God create this world? Why did God create man? What's the purpose of man creation? It's true by man in a general sense. It's true by man in a specific sense. Who am I? What are my strengths? What am I here for? What do I do to make myself feel accomplished? What have I left the world? What have I added to the world? Why does the world need me in it? I'm God's child, and why did God bring me into this world? How am I going to go to my deathbed, so to speak, feeling as though I left a unique contribution? And the question when a person thinks about retiring is, can I fulfill that mission more when I'm working? Can I fulfill that mission more when I'm not working? Is there something that I can add more when I'm still vibrant and I'm still working and contributing? Or is my unique calling away perhaps from the workforce, but doing something else? And for each person, the answer to the question is going to be different. There's not one way of answering that question, but it's a question that should be asked. Who am I? Why am I in this world? Is that going to be accomplished through the work I'm doing now? Is that going to be in a different chapter of my life or in a later chapter of my life? I want to tell you an amazing story about Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman is considered to be one of the greats, if not the greatest, Talmid Chacham Gadol HaDor alive today. He's perhaps not as famous as people like Rav Elyashiv and many others, but he's a real giant. He's 100 years old. He lives in Bnei Brak. And his schedule, even to this day, is that he wakes up at 5 in the morning to learn. He has sarusas until 12 o'clock at night. He's still giving a daily shiur. He's still giving a daily sabura. First of all, the very fact that at 100 he can do that shows you that that's like a life of good and a life of vibrancy. But even more than that, you know, it's a feeling of, like, this is why I was brought into the world, and this is what I want to be doing. Like, this is my purpose, and this is why I'm here. I'm not here, I'm going to do this until I'm 65 and then retire and do something else the next 35 years of my life. Yeah, but that's for him. That was his cheshbon, that was his life, that was his thought process. But each of us, and I'm sure to some degree, having some sense of the person that Peyton Manning is, he's probably asked himself these questions as well. You know, who am I in essence? You know, what am I doing here? What do I love doing? How do I feel accomplished? Is that going to be in this stage of life? Is that going to be in the next stage of life? So I give all of us a bracha that we have many, many, many years ahead of us of good health, of vibrancy. I give it all to bracha that we love doing what we're doing, that we wake up in the morning with a sense of aliveness. So we're always asking ourselves, this stage and the next stage, who am I? Why am I here? Am I in a healthy place of life? Am I in a good position to live a healthy life in my next stage, even after I work? These are all the questions that healthy people ask themselves. And hopefully, we're living a life of simcha in which we can really deal with these questions in a healthy way. Everyone enjoy. Those who are watching Super Bowl, enjoy. Those who are not, have a wonderful evening. And I look forward to being the Kesher down the road. Kol Tov. Thank you. Bye-bye.